జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి, అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి, ప్రేమ స్వభు శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాముని గిరి గోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన ధామికి, మాయాపూర్ ధామికి, మధురపురి ధామికి, జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి, ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి, గంగమాయికి, యమున మాయికి, తులసిదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌరవ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురువన్ శ్రీ గవిన, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శివదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని, నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి విశేష శూన్యవాణి పాశ్చాత్య దేశదారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే, కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవ. శ్రీమద్ భాగవతాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ, ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా, నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవాం. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా పురుష్వ దేవేశ, నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం, తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయా ఇదరదస్త్ అర్థేష్ అభిజ్ఞస్వరాట్, తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయ. తేజో వారి మృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర వరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం, వేద్యం వాస్తవం అత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వావరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్ధవరుధ్యనేత్ర కృతివి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాన్. నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుభముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుదం పిబదా భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుగా. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాది హేతవే తావత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజంతం అనువేదం అభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమజుహావ, పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేతు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శృతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిదిదీర్షదాం తమోన్నం, సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణ గుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం, దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొణిదాదృదానందోః, మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురిం కనికాపి కాపికాపి. నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే, నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం
പാദരേണുമ ഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീശരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാലാലയേശ മനിഷം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയന്വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദം വേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദം പുരതോ മമാം. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സത്യസ്യ ദേ സദൃശമാത്മനമാത്മനോന്യം വക്താരമീശ വിഭുദേഷ്വപി നാനുചക്ഷേ സർവേ വിമോഹിത ധിയാ തവ മായയേദം ബ്രഹ്മാദയസ്തനുപൃതോ ബഹിരർത്ഥഭാവാഹം. തസ്മാദ് ഭവന്തം അനവദ്യം അനന്തവാരം സർവജ്ഞമീശ്വരം അകുണ്ഠ വികുണ്ഠദൃഷ്ട്യം. സർവേ വിമോഹിത ധിയാ തവ മായ ഏതം ബ്രഹ്മാദയസ്തനുപൃത ബഹിരർത്ഥഭാവാഹം. സോ ഇൻ ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധം വി വർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണസ് ഇൻസ്ട്രക്ഷൻസ് ടു ഉദ്ധവ. ഇൻ ചാപ്റ്റർ 7 ബിഗിൻസ് ദി കൃഷ്ണസ് ഇൻസ്ട്രക്ഷൻസ്. സോ ദിസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 7 ഇസ് ദ ബിഗിനിങ് ഓഫ് ദി ഇൻസ്ട്രക്ഷൻസ് ടു ഉദ്ധവ വെയർ കൃഷ്ണ ബ്രോട്ട് യദു King Yadu, as well as the Dattatreya Maharshi, and through their conversation, through the conversation between Dattatreya Maharshi and King Yadu, Krishna wanted to bring out an important point to Uddhava, that Tundu Sarvam Parityajya Sneham Swajana Bandhushu. He spoke about that earlier, remember, in the beginning of the 7th chapter. That the first instruction from Krishna to Uddhava was disconnect all the attachments to this world. Otherwise it is not possible to free yourself from material existence. And that disconnecting process, how it is achieved, is explained by this particular instance with King Yadu, or the conversation between King Yadu and Dattatreya Maharshi. And that's why it is a very significant step in the spiritual life to begin with this development of detachment from this world. Krishna is talking about this so strongly later on to Uddhava. And also you will see there, if you think about Parikshit Maharaj, the mood he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, how he heard Srimad Bhagavatam. When he came to know that the time left for leaving this body is only 7 days, what was available, immediately he gave up all connections with this world. That is the sign of that intelligence or that great soul, personality. Throughout life, he had executed his duties as he was instructed by Yudhishthira Maharaj. While Yudhishthira Maharaj went to the forest to give up his body, he told Parikshit Maharaj that he should conduct the business of administration as instructed by Krishna, and which he did. But as soon as he got the message that he has to leave the body, he gave up everything else in this world. There is no responsibility, nothing left in this world to be done. And that is why Parikshit is considered to be the best listener of Srimad Bhagavatam, because of that seriousness with which he heard Srimad Bhagavatam. When you read Bhagavatam, you will notice one interesting thing. Parikshit never chanted the holy name there. Parikshit never performed any sacrifices. Parikshit never performed any kind of spiritual practices throughout the 7 days' time. This is the glory of Parikshit. He just sat there and heard about Krishna. And whatever Sudeva Goswami has spoken about Krishna, that was sufficient for him to leave this body and realize the self. To realize the self. That was the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. You don't find Parikshit executing any other yoga systems there. In fact, this is the same nature of all the great souls who have taken Srimad Bhagavatam in their hand and went searching for Krishna. Even the greatest commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, which you all probably heard of, is Sridhara Swami. Sridhara Swami's commentary is very well known, and it is the first commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is spoken about Srimad Bhagavatam that aham veti, shugo veti, vyaso veti, ja veti va. That everybody understands Bhagavatam. Aham veti, shugo veti. Lord Shiva said this. I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Sudeva Goswami understands Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedavyasa Maharshi understands Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Maharshi understands Srimad Bhagavatam. But Sridhara Sakalam Veti. Sridharacharya Swamiji understands everything about Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Sri Narasimha Prasadadam. That Narasimha Murti, Lord Narasimha has given this benediction to him to understand the Bhagavatam. So that was the greatness of Sridhara Swami. And therefore, Sridhara Swami's commentary has been accepted all over as the topmost authority on Bhagavatam. No other commentary has ever been accepted on the same level as Sridhara Swami's commentary. It's known as Bhavartha Deepika, and even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also endorsed Sridhara Swami's commentary as the most authoritative commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Whatever Sridhara Swami has spoken, that's the final word on Bhagavatam. So this Sridhara Swami, who wrote this commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see how he, if you know the history behind Sridhara Swami's compilation of Srimad Bhagavatam. When Sridhara Swami wanted to write his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, he was a householder. Sridhara Swami was not a sannyasi, he was a householder. And he had his wife, and the wife was pregnant. As soon as the delivery happened of the child, wife died. And Sridhara Swami was in the mood to start writing the commentary on Bhagavatam. It is at that time that this thing happened. When he was sitting there after the wife's death with the baby there, he was looking through the window and suddenly he saw that a bird which has given birth to two babies, the eggs have fallen from the nest onto the ground and they broke open. And from the nest came out a couple of babies of the bird from there. It realized him, made him to think that if those babies are going to survive in this world, how come that my child also won't survive in this world? This was the thought came to him. That personality, supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is providing every living entity in this world, if he is providing all other living entities, will they not provide for this baby as well? It was at that point he took sannyas and went to Banaras, where he wrote this commentary on Bhagavatam. So that vairagyam or detachment from this world was so strong in them, in those great souls, that they had nothing interesting for them in this world. They had no master plan for this world. All what they wanted to do was to understand the personality behind everything, the supreme personality, Krishna. And they were searching after Krishna. So because their search was so intense, that they had practically no interest in anything what goes on in this world. And their basics were so clear to them that a living entity accepts a body in this world due to their previous karma. Karma means cause behind it. And this prarabdha shariram, it will go and it will survive in this world no matter whether we maintain it or not. If it is meant to survive, it will survive. This was the deeper understanding behind this principle. So what we see there is that through these 24 spiritual masters, Krishna wanted to tell Uddhava that Dattatreya Maharshi, who took sannyas before, has understood this point very well from various sources in this world, whom he has accepted as their, as his spiritual masters. So out of them we have seen Prithvi, Vayu, Agasham, Avam, Agni. Earth, water, air, ether and fire. The five material elements, what he learned from them. Then we also saw Chandrama and Ravi, moon and the sun, what he learned from them. Then we have seen Kapodam, the two birds, Kapoda birds, what they have, what they had to teach Dattatreya Maharshi. If you see at the end of that instance, at the end of that seventh chapter, you will find there that Kapoda's story finishes there, the Kapoda bird story finishes, where he says, the last words, Yam prapyamanusham lokam muktidvaram apavratam griheshu khagaval sattam tamarudachudam vidu. Yam prapyamanusham lokam muktidvaram apavratam griheshu khagaval sattam tamarudachudam vidu. That this body, human body or material body given to us, is nothing but a vehicle for realizing the self, our spiritual identity. And therefore, it says there, Yam prapya manusham lokam muktidvaram abhavratam. After receiving this human body, if one has not utilized it for realizing the self, Krishna considers him as very unfortunate person. Why is unfortunate? Because griheshu khagaval sattam. All what he has done is, just like the Kapoda birds, he has used that body only for enjoying his senses. Nothing else. It doesn't get any proper utility of that body. Actually, this story is spoken to tell us something very important. What is that? This human body is considered to be that tree, what the birds were sitting on. If you remember, the male and the female bird, they made the nest on that tree, isn't it? So similarly, this human body is nothing but that tree. And also, the material world is that forest, what they were talking about. Material world is the forest they are talking about. And also, the hunter who came is nobody else than death personified, who is throwing the net on us. So it is spoken in a way, in a story form, so that we understand the tatvam or the principle behind it, what we are supposed to understand from that story. What's that story? In that story we saw that the two birds, how they engaged in their family life, how they got absorbed in that, and the end, they all got caught in the net of the hunter. And the hunter happily took them away home. And they all lost their life. And Dattatreya Maharshi says there, that I have understood from this instance one important thing, that in the human form of life, what had happened to me, I have got this human body which was given to me, it is nothing but this tree, like comparison compared to the tree. And this whole material world is nothing but a forest where this tree is situated at the moment. And in the form of death, the net has been thrown around me by the hunter. Hunter has come in the form of death. And death is that thing, the net, what is the way. And he is waiting there to throw the net on us as well, isn't it? The net is already there and the hunter is also standing there. Not seen by us, but he is there. So, any moment the net can fall on us, and whatever time that has been given to us, instead of executing Krishna consciousness or engaging in spiritual activities, if we while away all our time in satisfying the senses and the bodily needs, then a golden opportunity has lost. Golden opportunity is lost. That is the message. Because everything what is experienced in this world is false. Everything what is experienced in this false world is false. It is very difficult for people to accept this because of the attachment to family, attachment to this, attachment to that. None of these things will be there at the time of death. And knowing very well, still we are able to pursue after the material happiness. And that's what he is saying here. That if you get stuck with anything in this world, attachment, due to attachment to anything, if you stick to anything, eventually the object to which you are sticking, that will leave you and go. That will leave you and go. So similarly, that is what this story of this cup of the birds, the pigeons are telling us. That the female bird first gave up her life to protect the children, thinking that the children are hers. And if she doesn't look after, who will look after them? This thought came to her. So it started from her. Then the husband, the male bird, comes and he thinks, what will happen to my wife? What will happen to my children? If they are not there, what's life for me? This is how he is thinking. Completely on a bodily level, they were operating. Completely on a bodily level. So therefore, it says, evam yam prapyamanusham lokam. While after getting a human body, if he is also thinking exactly like these pigeons, like these cup of the birds, mukti dwaram avavridam, that he has got something higher than all these things to achieve in this life. Griheshu, at home, kadaval saptam, exactly like the bird, it will happen to him. And Krishna says there, tamarudachudam vibhu, tamarudachudam vidu. Uddhava, you have to understand that he has already fallen down. Just this understanding is sufficient. That human life has been given to us for only one thing, to free ourselves from this material existence and go back to Krishna and realize the soul, self. But that did not happen. That is why, how sad the story is, ends like that. And Dattatreya Maharshi is thinking, this is a very important lesson for me to learn in this world. It's a very important lesson to learn in this world. This human body is so precious, he says. He says the human body is so precious. So instead of utilizing it, if I have engaged in satisfying the senses and the bodily needs, what did I gain from this? Am I anywhere different from the cup of the birds? This was the question. So after that, now we have seen kapodam. Then ajagara sindhu patanga madugal graja madhuha harino meena pingala kuraram arbhaga kumari sharavat sarpam urnanabhi subheshakrat. The remaining spiritual masters. Out of that, the next one is in the 8th chapter begins. Shri Brahmana Uvacham Sukhamaindrigam Rajan Surge Naragaye Vaja Dehinam Yadhyada Dukham Tasman Echadad Budam. Then Sukhamaindrigam Rajan Surge Naragaye Vaja. When Dattatreya Maharshi started walking further, after understanding this principle, he thought in his own mind, I should not get entangled anywhere in this world. This was a lesson for him. I shouldn't get entangled anywhere in this world. Then he thought in his mind, what should I do for the food if it is like that? The thought of food came to his mind. So at that time when he looked around, there's somebody lying there, completely relaxed, unaffected by anything in this world, with his mouth open. And when he looked, it was a python which was lying there. It was a big, huge python. As you know, python has a body which cannot move very easily. They have such a heavy body. They don't move anywhere. And normally, they don't go inquiring after food. They stay in one place with their mouth open. It is by chance that some living entities will come and fall into the mouth. When they fall into the mouth, whatever they got that particular day, that's their food. That's how they live. They don't go searching for food anywhere. Because of the heavy body, it's difficult for them. Therefore, they call ajagaram. So, the next spiritual master, he is talking about that it is a very difficult principle for most people to understand or to accept it. They will ask the question, how can that be? Actually, you have to remember here, this is talking about a sannyasi, not for householder. If tomorrow householder stays at home thinking, that, oh, it is said in the Bhagavatam like this food will come, food won't come. This we are talking about sannyasis. This is the consciousness necessary for a sannyasi, for a yeti. That is why you should separate it out. That householder has to work, he has to earn his living. That is not question about that. But when we are talking about a sannyasi stage, this changes, the situation changes. There, these things are kept completely under dependence on Krishna. Of course, in Kali Yuga, it has become that also a difficult situation. That many people find it difficult that sannyasa ashram also becomes a very difference. What we find is that many of the principles what spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam has become difficult to follow. So therefore, what it comes to is, Sukhamaindriyagam rajan sorge naraga evajam dehinam yadhyada dukham. First thing the Brahmana says, the Tatraya Maharshi is saying, Sukhamaindriyagam rajan, this happiness what we call in this world is all based on the senses. Sukhamaindriyagam rajan sorge naraga evajam, and they are available in sorgam as well as even in naragam. In naragam also certain sense gratification is available. It is not something only available in Swargam or in heavenly planets. That's what you are saying. But just like television, it's available in Naragam also. If you go, you'll find their television to keep you happy with that. So the question here is that why did the Tatraya Maharshi say like that? The Tatraya Maharshi, why did he say like this? The Tatraya Maharshi's point is that if you do not give priority to spiritual life in this world, rather busy in searching after food, searching after a place to sleep, searching after living a family life, then spiritual life will not go very far. This is the most important point. You see, the Bhartrihari wrote a story about this. One person wanted to find out, is this statement correct, that you will be provided food by Krishna's arrangement? So what he did was, he caught hold of a snake and put it in a box and fully locked it. Locked the box. And he thought, let me see how this rule will work, that you will be maintained by Krishna's arrangement. So after doing all that, he left it. And by chance, a rat which came that way started thinking there must be something inside the box. So he started biting this box, and little by little he endeavored very hard and managed to cut through a hole through the box and went inside. He went inside, and as soon as he came inside, the snake thought, by Krishna's arrangement I got this food. He ate it and he came out through the hole. So these things are there. Sometimes we difficult to understand that dependence on Krishna, as a sannyasi's situation we are discussing, to dependence on Krishna has to be that kind of dependence, what is spoken here. That even food is not taken very seriously. Where you will eat your next meal is not even taken very seriously. Of course, nowadays it is different. But in those days, when spiritual life was taken very seriously and things were followed very seriously, it was like that. They had absolute faith in these statements. They never had any doubts about the validity of the statements and the statements in the Srimad Bhagavatam. To give you an example that that you know, the food what we will eat in this world from birth till we leave this body is also decided. How much food we will get, when we will get, and you will not be able to eat one grain more and you will not be able to eat one grain less. That has to go in. This is already decided. And if somebody is not getting food, there must be a reason behind it. That is why to think that it is because of our ability. If you see from a higher level, from Krishna's point of view, you can see that the living entity gets its body due to karma. That is the source behind it. Prarabdham brings the body to a person. As much as Prarabdham has brought that body, Prarabdham has already decided how much food he will get it. Once it so happened, one person decided that I will not eat anything at home anymore. Because for some reason he decided not to eat at home. But the family members were forcing him, eat, 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 like everybody does there at home. Keep on forcing him. So eventually he decided, okay, let me leave home. If I stay here, I will never be able to control my tongue or senses, so let me go. He left. He went away. And while walking through the forest, he sat on the top of a tree for some time to think about this and decide what to do in the future. While he was sitting on the tree, on the top of the tree, a group of people came that way. They were a marriage party. They were passing through that way. When they came there, they saw this nice huge tree, so they decided that they will have a picnic there. They'll sit there, and they had a lot of nice food stuff with them. So they sat down, and they spread the food around, and they were about to eat. At that time, they heard some noise from the behind, and because it was in the forest, they were a little bit perturbed, thinking that it could be some dacoits or thieves. They left all the food there, and they ran away from there. Leaving the food there. In the meanwhile, what they thought was true, it was a group of thieves who came there. And they came there and they saw this nice food, all nicely prepared and kept ready for a meal. So they started getting doubt, who has left this food here like this? And some of them started talking to each other. Meanwhile, one looked up and saw this man sitting on the top. So somebody suggested, look, it could be possible that the king wanted to feed us with some poison and must have mixed the poison with this food and has left it here so that we'll come and eat it with that intention. So they suggest, one of them suggested, let us get that man from the top, make him to eat this first. So this person who didn't want to eat food, he went and sat there, and from there he was forced to come and eat the food. That also happens in this world. So these things are very difficult to say. Just like sometimes, have you noticed this? You will see in the extreme cases, you go to the hospital just before death, say a few days, you got very ill and they have taken you to the hospital. And in the hospital, the doctor, you are not able to eat anything. You have no desire to eat. Doctors are saying he is not eating anything. So they decided, let us feed him through the nose. You've seen that? They put the two pipes through the nose and start feeding you. Why? His prarabdham is not finished. He has not consumed what he was meant to consume in this world. Because it was not finished, the prarabdham comes through the tube like this. This is the reality. We are thinking that everything is under our control. But Bhagavatam is saying nothing is in our control. Everything is controlled by Krishna, including the amount of food what we should eat, how much quantity we should eat, and that is also decided already while getting this body. This is why it's called prarabdham. So from here, the Tathagata Maharshi understood this important point. Sukhamaindriyam rajan surge naragayeva cha dehinam yad yada dukham tasman e chedadal budham. That an intelligent person should not take these issues, eating, sleeping, these issues as the most important things. On the other hand, he should try to keep away from all these, whatever food that has come by chance, he should accept it. And some days the food will be very tasty. On some other days it will be absolutely no taste at all. But in whatever situation it comes, it should not allow that to disturb the mind. This is the most important principle behind it. That the dehinam yadhyada dukham tasman nechedadal budam grasam sumrishtam virasam mahandam sogam evava edurchaya yuvabhavadidam grasedad ajagarokriyam. That this python lives like that. Python is not sure about its food, what he will get. One day it will be a feast. A nice deer or a rabbit or something comes in, he will have a good feast. On another day there will be nothing, there will be a few flies that may come. But whether you get a rabbit or a deer or you get some flies, the python was not disturbed. Python carried on, thinking that this is what Krishna has kept for me today and I should be satisfied with that. This is what is what is the Python's story is talking about, that Ajagara Vritti, as it is called. So Yadrachaivabhadidam Agraseyed Ajagarokriyam. So from this Ajagaram I have learned this important lesson, and also whatever comes by Prarabdham, I'll be satisfied, I'll eat that. That's what he was saying. Prarabdham is such a thing that the everyone, every living entity, particularly when he accepts the body, it's called Prarabdha Shariram. And this Prarabdha Shariram means it has to experience a certain amount of happiness and distress in this world. And that will naturally come in its own way. One should not have to endeavor very hard. And however hard one work in this world, ultimately he will only get that happiness what he is entitled for. And similarly, the distress also, what he is meant to go through will come through. That also you won't be able to change. This is what Bhagavatam is teaching us all the time through different personalities. If you remember Bharata Maharaj's story in the fourth canto, where he virtually said this, that I have to wait till my prarabdham is over and the prarabdha body drops away. So this consciousness is important in spiritual life. That out of the 24 spiritual masters, the Ajagaram means this python, is only this one message to say. It's not that Python was doing this out in the mood of goodness or full understanding of this. Please don't misunderstand it that way. Python was doing it out of his body. It was acting like that. But Dattatreya Maharshi learned this lesson from the Python, that this important lesson, that in the human body, we should not be like them. But this lesson is important for me to learn, because it is here that I have to understand that whatever Krishna has kept for me in this world, it will come on its own. I do not have to worry about it. And what I am not entitled for, it's not going to come. It's not going to come. So, grasam sumrashtam virasam mahandam stogamevava. Sometimes sumrashtam, plenty of food. And virasam, sometimes very little. Mahandam stogamevava. Sometimes it's wonderful, first class. Sometimes it's not so good. Yadrachaivapatidam graseer ajagaro kriyam. Yadrachaya, whatever comes by yadrachaya means by Krishna's desire. By whose desire it happens. Yadrachaya, by accidentally what that comes, being satisfied with that. That is the principle behind it. So, shaidahani bhurini niraharo anubakrama edinomamed graso maha ahirivadushtabok. Shaidahani bhurini niraharo anubakramaham. That he lies there, starving sometimes. And at that time, the Dattatreya Maharshi is saying, I have to take it that my prarabdham is not to have food today. Not to have food today. And yadi nobe no yadi noba named graso maha ahiriva dushtabok. Maha ahiriva dushtabok. That I will accept it as my prarabdham dushtabok, and I will I'll peacefully settle down there. At that time I also eat. What am I eating? And then I'm eating my prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma I am eating. I'm finishing my prarabdham by doing that. This is how he says. Instead of working hard and earn and to fulfill that desire. Sometimes this is very clear if you see some people, especially in the big companies, big executives and all that. If you look at their way of life sometimes, you wonder what their intelligence level is. They'll work whole day very, very hard. And some of these big directors or whatever you call the big positions, big managers, they work so hard whole day, and about 7, 8 o'clock they want to eat something because they are very hungry and starving. And they will run from one hotel to another hotel where to have a meal at night. And when you see that, you see how the Maya is working in this world. Maya has kept them so busy throughout the day, and so late at night, just for a meal, they have to run from one hotel to another. Booking in this hotel, checking in that hotel. So many things, and this is why the hotel industry also thrives on that. Because of the need to fulfill the belly in that process, they have to act in this way. Because throughout the day they have no time to inquire about the food. So the whole day they are so busy with the work, but in the night they are running from place to place looking where to eat, just to have a meal. So the Ajagaram has taught the Tatraya Maharshi. You see, the spiritually advanced people, they think in the opposite way. When one identifies with the body, he only looks at things about maintaining the body, isn't it? Nothing more than that. When one identifies with the body, he only thinks about maintaining the body. When one comes to the spiritual platform, he does not give any importance to the body. He gives importance to the spirit soul. This is that difference you find in the modern way of life and in the spiritually advanced personalities like the Tatraya Maharshi. The Tatraya Maharshi has shown this in his dealings with this world, that whatever food that comes on my way, I will accept it. If the food doesn't turn up, doesn't matter. After all, Krishna has kept certain things for me in this world, I will accept it. This is called surrendering. Surrendering to Krishna. So now you can see what is surrender means. Surrender is not an easy thing. We think we surrender somewhere, to somebody somewhere. We think we have surrendered. Actually, surrender, this is where the importance of bhakti, understanding bhakti comes. Proper understanding of bhakti. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, while talking about bhakti, in various levels it is presented. Isn't it? In various levels it is presented. So that we do not misunderstand what is bhakti. We do not misunderstand what is bhakti. So, Krishna says there, that in the Bhagavatam, there are several statements you will find at different places in relationship with this. That the generally, people have the understanding that the, what is bhakti, if you ask somebody, people go to the temple, they go to Krishna with all their problems of life, different kinds of pains, different kinds of pressures in life, and in order to feel some relief from these distresses, they approach Krishna. They approach Krishna. And because he is going to the temple, he is going to see Krishna to look for some relief from his distress or pain in this world. We call that person, he is a devotee. He is a devotee of Krishna. We say he is a devotee of Krishna. That's one stage. But that is not considered bhakti. That's not considered bhakti. These problems in this world, even if you saw Krishna solves one problem today, there will be another problem waiting next day. Then you'll have to go back to Krishna again with this request to the next problem. So like this, if you look at whole life, it is nothing but a series of problems from beginning to end. Isn't it? And all what you have done throughout life is gone to Krishna asking for relief. And in that process, nothing has happened on a spiritual level. On a spiritual platform, nothing has happened. That's one. Now, there are some other people who go to Krishna with a different understanding. What is that? They have realized that whatever that comes according to my karma, I will have to suffer. Or whatever happiness I am getting in this world, I have to live with that. That's all I can do. So they are a little bit on a higher level, and they are thinking that when distress comes, because only when distress comes one thinks about Krishna. Otherwise nobody thinks about Krishna. So when distress comes, they will say that at least if Krishna can give me the strength of mind to bear the situation, to deal with the situation, and they pray to Krishna for giving that strength of mind to deal with the situation. So this is another group of people who are little bit more advanced than the others. They think that if Krishna gives the strength of mind, at least let me, so they will pray to Krishna that please give me the strength of mind to deal with this situation, whatever situation they are facing with, either ill health, poverty, family problems, this, that, whatever, so many innumerable material problems in this life, whatever a householder and others also go through. So generally, whether you are a grahamachari, grahastham, vanaprastham, sannyasi, no matter what it is, when you are ill, at that time, what happens? Mind turns to Krishna. Or, no matter who it is. Because then you realize there's nobody can help you at that point. Everyone feels helpless at that point. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 8th canto, the story of Gajendra, if you remember, we discussed this. Gajendra also felt in the beginning that my family members will look after me. That was his feeling. Through Gajendra's story, it is our story, Sukadeva Goswami is telling us. It's our story. That we forget this point, that a state of helplessness can come to anyone at any time in this world. At that point, all objects in which we have put our faith will leave you at that point. Nobody will be there to help. And at this, the last resort is the one when one turns to Krishna's help, like Gajendra did. So here also, what we have to say is, those people ask Krishna this help, at least give me the strength to bear with all the distress what comes to me in life. Even that is not considered bhakti. Do you know why it is not considered bhakti? Because Krishna, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, he is present in everyone's heart. He knows, and he is the omniscience, as he is the person who knows everything. He knows more than what we know about ourselves, isn't it? When something is happening to us, some distress is coming to us, it is Krishna is conscious of that, and we are going to Krishna asking him to change it. In other words, we are questioning Krishna's omniscience. We are questioning Krishna's omniscience. Similarly, we are questioning Krishna's compassion also. Krishna's compassion also, we are questioning. So, because we are questioning Krishna's omniscience and Krishna's compassion, even this is not considered to be devotion. This is not even considered to be devotion. The proper devotee, when he has come to the proper understanding, he surrenders to Krishna. That is the message. Surrendering means, whatever that is happening in this world is according to your desire. Is according to your desire. One who has to go and tell Krishna that you should change this is not very devotional. It's not a devotee's approach. Devotee's approach, this is why it is called Sharanagati. Sharanagati means accepting what Krishna has given to us and be satisfied with that. Not to complain about anything in this world. Sometimes we often see that even among the so-called spiritually leaders, they keep forcing others, you pray for this, pray for that, this, that and the other. This shows that what level they are talking about. Krishna doesn't need, if somebody is suffering in this world, there must be a reason behind it. Nothing happens without any reason. And that is very clear when you, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in so many instances, Sukadeva Goswami will speak out these things, that Sharanagati means, or surrendering to Krishna means, whatever that is happening to anybody in this world, anyone at any particular situation, it's purely happening because that is how Krishna wants that to happen. There's not a lot you can do about it. And instead of going back to Krishna, requesting him to change it, that's not Sharanagati. That's not Sharanagati. And Sharanagati means bhakti. Sharanagati is bhakti. So instead of engaging in these activities, Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, try to realize the self, realizing the self. Why? Because when one realizes the self, it shows, he will understand that all these problems what he has been worrying about are all purely related with the body. Purely related to the body and not with the self. So the real solution to come out of the problems is not by praying. Praying is a foolish thing to do. It has no meaning actually. Okay, when you pray, you may feel some satisfactions. I have prayed to Krishna now these things today. And sometimes things get better also. And Krishna may show some mercy sometimes. But the fact remains that as far as Sharanagati is concerned, he has not surrendered anything to Krishna. He still wants to control the material nature. That attitude has not gone away from the person. So it is here that in Bhagavatam, why these examples are given? Uttara Devi, Draupadi Devi, and also Gajendra. All these examples are shown to us to teach us this one principle. This principle is this, that surrendering to Krishna means is this, that is bhakti, nothing else. All other so-called bhakti, what we are talking about, has nothing to do with Srimad Bhagavatam. It is your own, one's own mental concoction it is. So, here, in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, that the surrender process is opportunity Krishna has given to a devotee to surrender to him. And when one surrenders in that way, Krishna appreciates that. That is what advancement in spiritual life means. When that situation comes to him, he is able to accept it in that way, that is his spiritual advancement. So here, Dattatreya Maharshi is also pointing out to this one fact, that the accepting everything according to Krishna's desire is bhakti. Nothing else is bhakti. So, here we say,
Shaidahani bhurini niraharo anubakrama yadino banamed grasom maha ahivam ahiriva dushtabuk ojasaho belayidam vibraddehamakarmakam shayano vidanidrascha nehadendriyavanabhim.
Then, the prarabdha karmam's power is what it is mentioned here.
Ojasaho belayidam vibraddeham akarmakam ojasa deham belam.
That ibraddeham akarmakam, that indriyam or the senses, even though they are very powerful, the senses are very powerful, and the strength of the senses, strength of the mind and strength of the body, even though they are capable of acquiring, even though they are capable of helping a living a comfortable material life, a person who has come to this realization, he should not endeavor for them, and he should just stay in that body, accepting that, keeping his goal of life as the most important thing. That's why it's said here. See, ojasaho balaidam vibraddeham akarmagam. Akarmagam. Akarmagam means he should withdraw from activities. He should withdraw from the activities. And what should he do?
Shayano vidanidrascha dehadendriyavanabhim.
He should stay, lie down there without being affected by anything.
Vidanidrascha niraharo anivakrama.
So that is the principle. In the sannyasa ashram, this is particularly referring to. But even in the household life, if one can accept these principles, a lot of material distress will go away. Otherwise, simply thinking that, oh, I'm a householder now, I have got all the responsibilities of this world, so I have to do this, I have to do that. In this process, what happens is, our faith in the prarabdham weakens. Our faith in Krishna also weakens. And then habituated like that, we will never be able to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam's principle is like this, that Ahiriva Dushtabuk, it says, I have to stay like this python, he said. That sometimes, once it so happened, that one sannyasi, he was living on his own, and there were so many people who were visiting him. So one devotee thought that this sannyasi doesn't get much lot of nice food to eat. So she prepared a lot of nice dishes and brought it to him.
So out of that there were some nice savories which you have to bite very hard with the teeth. So when she offered the savories to him, the sannyasi told her, that prarabdham is finished for me, he said. She could not understand what he was talking about. She was just thinking she will make him happy by giving this savories to him. But sannyasi said, that prarabdham is finished for me. Why did he say that? All the teeth has gone, you see. So without the, only when you have the teeth, you can enjoy these savories, which requires biting very hard. So he said to the lady, that prarabdham is over for me. In other words, the teeth has fallen off. Now I cannot even enjoy them, even if you give it to me. That was his answer to that. So there are so many instances. You will see many of the realized souls, when they travel around, at the, in the history, if you look back, you will see that many of them accepted what has come to them by providence. And they were satisfied with that. That is the way to live in this world. Otherwise, if the sannyasis also start doing exactly like the householders do, then where is the difference between them? So,
ojasaho balaidam vibraddeham akarmagam shayano vida nidrascha nehadendriyavanavi.
Shayano vida nidrascha. That is important. Why? While lying down, the Tathagata Maharshi is thinking, he is not sleeping, shayano vidanidrascha. He is still thinking about this goal. The goal is in the mind all the time. So unless one develops this consciousness inside of reading Srimad Bhagavatam and understanding the mind of these great souls, it is not possible to develop these qualities, what is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Shayano vidanidrascha, that even while lying down, that without sleeping, he is still thinking about the nehadendriya vanapi, that he is still focused on that, that I have to have, my mind has to be peaceful to reach the goal of life. This was clear in his head. Then, vidanidrascha. Why did he say vidanidrascha? Because it is to show us that his mind is not disturbed even in that situation. For us, if the prasadam is not there, immediately we get disturbed, isn't it? Immediately we get disturbed. Or we make our arrangements in such a way. Sometimes we make sure that the food, if it is not available, what will happen? Therefore we make prior arrangements for that. And this is also the understanding that this body, of course, cannot function without food. But undue consideration or undue care about that, or concern about food, is not very favorable for spiritual life. This is the point what the Tathagata Maharshi is saying here. So this understanding has to come, because it's important. That today we may have the food, tomorrow we don't know whether we have the food or not. So even in such situation, to keep, not to allow the mind to get disturbed is important. Is important. Once it so happened, a sannyasi was walking over and he saw a nice lake and a huge piece of rock there next to that. He bathed in the lake and went and slept on the rock. While he was lying down on the rock, a person came through that way. He came up to him and he asked him, why are you lying down like this here? So sannyasi said to him, why? What's wrong with it? He said, why don't you do some work? He said, the sannyasi said, that's the only thing, I don't want to do anything, he said. So this person says to him, that if you don't want to do anything, why don't you do something for others, so that others can be get benefited? He said to him, I don't think I have to get into that field. There are many others in that field working in this world already, of saving others. I don't have to get involved in that anymore. His point was, what he was trying to say was, that that this ojasaho balaidam vibradeham akarmagam, that akarmagam is the main thing, that this world is already too crowded with others who are trying to save this world. So better don't get involved in that, rather save yourself first. This is the point. So in order to save yourself, these things are, understanding is necessary. That's why he's saying here, Ojasaho Belaidam Vibradeham Agarmagam. First, show pity to that part and parcel of Krishna who is inside. Who is everyone's inside. We are forgetting that and we are busy saving about everyone else in this world. We have not saved that one who is inside us, who is experiencing, who is not able to come to the platform of realization. After realization, then you don't have to worry about it. Naturally, you will act in the right way. But before realization, when we start doing these things, it ends up in various kinds of problems. So there, what the Tantra Maharshi is saying here is that the Ojasaho Balayudam, that senses, body and the mind, they may be in perfect condition. But at the same time, if the spiritual realization has not happened to that person, he will not be able to help anyone very much. That, in spite of the fact that they are all in a strong position, he is still not doing anything. Akarmagam. He is refraining himself from doing anything. That is the important thing. You see, in the Bhagavadam, while looking at different devotees, Sudeva Goswami trying to develop that consciousness of each devotee whom he is talking about. For example, when he is talking about Dhruva Maharaj, he will become Dhruva Maharaj and he can speak like that. Dhruva Maharaj's consciousness. When he becomes Akrura, he becomes to Akrura's consciousness. When he comes to Gopis, he becomes Gopi's consciousness. What to speak about Uddhava, he comes to Uddhava's consciousness. And when he talks about Krishna, he comes to Krishna's consciousness. That is why in the Bhagavatam, in the beginning, if you look, you will see there, Tum sarvabhuta hridayam munim anatosmi. One who can enter into everyone and become that consciousness. That was Sudeva Goswami. Sudeva Goswami was like that. When he spoke, because in Srimad Bhagavatam, what you find is, he is talking to Parikshit Maharaj about various personalities, isn't it? So, whenever he has spoken about the different personalities, he took that consciousness, he was able to rise himself to that consciousness. That was the speciality with Sukadeva Goswami. For example, when you think about Dhruva Maharaj's prayers, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find this interesting things in the Bhagavatam. When you come to Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj says like this, Yonda pravishya mama vajam imam prasuptam sanjeeva yatyagila shaktidharas sodhamna anyamsha hastacharanam shravanam togadin pranan namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. This is how Dhruva Maharaj begins his prayers. Dhruva Maharaj prayers is a prayer where he gives importance to whom? Importance to Krishna. In how Krishna, who comes and by whose presence in me all my senses are functioning. My mind is functioning and and my senses of knowledge and senses of action both are able to function. By Krishna's presence. By Krishna's presence. Anyamsha hastacharana shravanam togadin pranan namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. So by whose power all the senses are able to work, senses of knowledge as well as senses of action, which I think you know what they are, isn't it? The five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. That is what this body's activity is in this world. In the vacant state, this is what we do. These senses are active all the time, isn't it? So just like we are hearing something, the ears are active. So all the knowledge acquiring senses, they are called. They are active. And if not, our senses of action, karmendriyam, they are active. So either senses of knowledge or senses of action are busy in the state of wakefulness or in the jagrat state. This is Dhruva Maharaj says. In another instance, you will see that who comes and brings these experiences of the jagrat state in the dream state and not allow any of the senses to interfere there, but experiences everything through the mind. That is Krishna. That is. So, Krishna comes in the Jagrat state, engages in the activities of the senses. Krishna comes in the dream state and leaves the senses behind and engages us again in the activities of the mind. Only because Krishna is doing this, these things are happening in us. Otherwise it won't happen. This is the first thing. That because Krishna is engaging us in that way, in the vacant state, we experience this world and we experience the activities of the senses. As soon as you go into the dream state, what happens? Krishna closes down those windows. Which windows? The windows of the senses. Brings in the mind in and make us to experience through the mind this world. Make us to experience through the mind this world. And similarly, when Krishna decides, he switches off the mind as well as the senses and puts us into the third state of the deep sleep where he allows us to rest in peace. He allows us to rest in peace. Now, in the Jagrat state, who did this with the senses? In the dream state, who did it with the mind? And in the deep sleep, who did that to us to go to sleep? Where you have experienced some happiness. Why? Neither the mind, nor the intelligence, nor the senses disturbed you at that time. Which clearly shows that in the absence of the mind and absence of the intelligence, you feel happiness. Not with the presence of the mind and presence of the senses. So in their absence is what you have experienced that happiness in the sleep, deep sleep state. But even in that deep sleep state, Krishna wakes you up and brings you back to vacant state sometime later. But that Krishna who has brought you into the Jagrat, in the vacant state, in the dream state and in the deep sleep, eventually at another state, he tells you that he acted as a witness in all these three states. He was acting as a witness in all these three states. Because of Krishna's presence only, you are able to remember what has happened in the Jagrat, what has happened in the dream, what has happened in the deep sleep. So, in order for us to experience these things, Krishna's presence is essential. So it is through Krishna's presence that we understand that we experience these different things. And when our realization of Krishna is complete, that it is Krishna who is doing that, we release ourselves from the other three states. That is the difference between the liberated self-realized state and the three states of existence. In the self-realized state, we only see that Krishna is doing everything. Nothing else is done by us. But normally in the conditioned state, we experience these three states of existence. And because it is like that, the Dattatreya Maharshi is not sleeping. Because he has already come to that state of existence where he is not experiencing. That's why he is saying here, Ojasaho balaidam vibradeham agarmagam. Agarmagam means he is not functioning anymore on a bodily level. Vibradeham agarmagam. On a bodily level, he is not functioning. Shayano Vida Nidrascha. Also, he is not sleeping because there is no need to sleep anymore. Sleep is for that on a state of existence where you have not come to that platform, you require sleep and you require other things as well. But when you have totally realized from the bodily identity has completely gone, where is the question of sleeping? Where is the question of eating? Even those things are not important. So therefore, the Dattatreya Maharshi state of consciousness we have to understand while reading these verses.
Muni prasanna gambhiram durvigahyo durateyah anandavaro akshobhya stimidodam ivarnavam. Verse 5. Now, after this, he is talking about another spiritual master. So many things to learn from Python. From Python we have learned that the food, what is available, will whatever that comes, a yadi. Yadi means a sannyasi in this sense. Yadi should accept whatever comes to him by nature's arrangement. Something will be available. Somewhere something somebody will provide. You should be satisfied with that. You should not be unduly concerned about where I will have my next meal. That's not for a sannyasi. He has to accept whatever that comes by Krishna's arrangement. He should not make elaborate plans for that. That's what he's saying here. So, Muni prasanna gambhiro durvigahyo durateyam anandamaro akshobhyastimido vada ivarnavaham.
Now, we are talking about another spiritual master. What is that? Sindhu. Sindhu means ocean. Ocean. Dattatreya Maharshi is going further. From what he has learned from python, he has learned, and he said goodbye to the python. He moved away from there. He started walking. When he was walking, he reached the seashore. When he reached the seashore, he looked into the sea, and what did he say? What did he see? He saw there, Muni prasanna gambhiro, that the calmness of the sea. All the waves that was coming from the sea, the waves were all near the shore. But he looked into the sea much deeper and he found at a distance the sea is very calm. The sea is very calm. Whereas all the powerful waves, that was all close to the seashore. So he was saying here that what can I learn from this, from the sea? This is what he was thinking. When he looked at it, he says, Anandavaram Achobhyam. I should be like the sea, he says. I should be like the sea. A yeti, he's talking about a yeti, or a sannyasi, should be like the sea. What is the speciality with him? That he wrote is that the sea's activities were like this. That where the water is not so deep, that means close to the shore, the sea was disturbed. The sea was disturbed. And it was, the ocean was creating waves. But as you go further and further into the sea, it is very deep there. It's very deep there. And there was no more waves. And there is no more any disturbed nature for the sea. So from this he said that I should be like that ocean inside. A yeti or a sannyasi should be like that. Unaffected by anything what happens in this world. Unaffected or anything in by anything what happens in this world. Then Muni prasanna gambhiro. Prasanna gambhiram, always peaceful, and at the same time that full depth of realization like the ocean has. If there is deep realization, you should not get disturbed by anything in this world, isn't it? So prasanna gambhiram means always peaceful, and at the same time that deeper realization inside. And durvigahyo duratyayaham, that very difficult to understand, that all the durvigahyam duratyayam, very difficult to understand him. A sannyasi should be like that. Very difficult to understand his mood. Durvigahyam. Why? Because of the deep realizations inside. If a person has deep realization, he won't get disturbed over the material activities and material problems in this world. This world will go on its own, whether we care for it or not. It has its own path chalked out. So, material issues, and he will be able to stay unaffected by anything. Samruddha gamo hinova narayana paro muni nol sarpedana shusheda saridbhirivasa garam. Then, whatever happens, samruddha gamo hinova narayana paro muni, whether whatever happens to him, he is Narayana Para. He is surrendered to Krishna. So you can see, on an individual level, when you practice spiritual life, there are many things what one can notice from this. Dattatreya Maharshi is not in any particular institution. He is on his own, searching after the truth. And by his own discrimination, and by his own observations, he is able to pull out some of the most interesting spiritual truths which Krishna is quoting here to Uddhava to understand. So if we don't take Srimad Bhagavatam seriously and simply take all the externalities as spiritual life, then on a spiritual path it will be very difficult to make progress. Because spiritual progress is based on the experiences of these great souls, not on anything else. What as a society we do, what as a group we do,
they will have very little influence on your consciousness. The influence on the consciousness is personalities like Dattatreya. It is they who can show us the path forward because they have gone through the process and realized the truth. Samruddhagamo hinova narayana paro muni nolsarpeda na shusheda saridbhirivasagaraha. In the sea, so many rivers are flowing and they are pumping so much quantity of water into the sea. But has the sea affected by any of that? No. Sea is still very calm. In spite of the fact that so many big rivers bring so much water and throw it into the sea, sea still says very calm. Still says very calm. The Dattatreya Maharshi says, I learned this, that in this world so many things will come, so many waves will come. What kind of waves? Related to material life, and from other living entities, from material nature, so many problems will come. But because I am fixed up in my spiritual life, I can't allow myself to be disturbed by all those things. This is the point. That if we allow to get disturbed by everything what's going on in this world, the goal will be lost. The goal is self-realization, nothing else. So the goal of self-realization will be lost if we get distracted by all other things in this world. You are on your own in your spiritual life. And here there are personalities like the Dattatreya Maharshi to tell us how they got there where they are at today. So instead of taking their instructions, if we simply get carried away by all the other propagandas of this world, because so many people will come with so many different proposals in spiritual life, and if you go along with that, you will see that what you have to understand, you have not understood. What you don't need to understand, you are busy with all those things in this world. So, even in spite of the, it says here, nol sarpeda na shusheda, that even if there is very hot sun, in spite of that, the sea never dries up. It's always there. Unaffected by the amount of water that comes from the rivers, it's not affected. Nor by the fact that the sun is taking away so much water from the sea, it's not affected. So either way, it's not affected. Nol sarpeda na shusheda saridbhiriva sagara. It should be like that, like the sagaram, that the ocean. How ocean is able to stay tranquil to all situations, unaffected by anything. A person who wants to advance in spiritual life also has to develop that attitude in life. Not to get disturbed by all what is going on in this world. Muni prasanna gambhiram durvigahyo duratyayaha anandamaro akshobhyastumido yuvarnavaha stumidodam yuvarnavaha samardhagamo hinova narayanavaro muni nolsarpeda na shusheda saridbhi yuvasagaraha drishtva astriyam devamayam tadbhavairachidendriyaha pralobhida padatyande tamasyagnau patangaval. So here there is something important point that when we talked about bhakti, what does bhakti mean? Bhakti means after experiencing, they give the example, if you take a fish out of water and leave it on the land, how the fish starts, it gets disturbed, isn't it? It's not feeling happy about it, that situation, that when it's taken out of the water. Similarly, and how it struggles to get its life back. Similarly, in absence of Krishna's, in the absence of Krishna, when a devotee feels exactly like that fish, that is how they compare that, the situation of the fish. That when we come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam also, it is the, we have experiencing what Krishna has to say to this world. And at the same time, that so many different vasanas, what is within us, is dragging us behind. That similar, what we have to remember there is that this goal, if it is not kept in front all the time, it is very easy to fall away from spiritual life if the goal is not clear. Sometimes we have control of the mind, control of the senses. So many things are spoken, isn't it? In order to advance on the spiritual path, it is just like this. You have a nice house, everything maintained very well.
and good furniture, nicely painted, it all looks beautiful. But if there is nobody to live in the house, what value that house has got? Similarly, while practicing spiritual life also, you may have control on the mind, control on the senses, so many things. That's all very good. But at the same time, if the realizations are not coming from the spiritual life is also no good. Isn't it? Suppose you are doing everything according to the instructions. You are practicing spiritual life, following all the rules and regulations, everything. But by doing all that, if those realizations are not coming from the practice of this injunctions, then that spiritual life is not very exciting. It's not very enjoyable. It's not serving the purpose. So, there it says here that shamam damam, all the other things are there, but if that proper realizations are coming, the result of that will be that proper discrimination and vairagyam will come. Vairagyam come from this world. So vairagyam does not happen overnight. It happens in this way. It cannot happen otherwise. The purpose of all these things is coming back to our true identity. If you read Bhagavatam in several places, this is talked about, that how to come back to our real identity. Because at this point in time, our identity with the body is so strong, it is very difficult to come out of this identity. So in order to, but if that goal is not fixed very strongly, we may find that we have completely gone away from the path. One day we will realize that because of the goal was not very clear in our own mind. That's what it is going to happen. So here it says that samurdhagamo samurdhagamo hinova narayana paro muni nolsarpeda na shisheda nolsarpeda na shisheda saridhi ivasagaram. Then in the beginning of the spiritual life we saw that while we are talking about the relationship with the spiritual master and the disciple, that a personality who has this realization in him, he will be able to transmit the same realization to a disciple also. That the realization that he has experienced within himself, he should be able to transmit that into a disciple who has the intense desire to free himself from this material world. So, now we are talking about the ocean. Samurdhagamo hinova narayana varo muni nolsarpedana shushyeda saridbirivasa agaram drishtva astriyam devamayam tadbhavai rajitindriyaha prlobhido padathyande tamasyagnao padandhyaval patangavad. Though here there is another next spiritual master. So far, five material elements we have seen, moon and the sun we have seen. And then we saw Kapodam, the birds, isn't it? The birds. Kapodam, Ajagaram. Then we saw the python, and now we have seen the sea, ocean, samudram, or sea, Ajagara Sindhu. Now, he is talking about five different personalities. Who are they? Five different personalities. We have, through five senses, what is known as Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. Do you know what that means? Sound, Shabdam, Sparsham is touch, Rupam is form, Rasam is taste, Gandham is smell. These are called Tanmatras. These five Tanmatras, Panchatanmatra they are called, these five Tanmatras are what is helping the senses to enjoy the material world. Here, Dattatreya Maharshi is saying that he has learned something important from these Tanmatras, five Tanmatras also. What is being learned, he is going to talk about that here.
Drishtva Sriyam Deva Mayam Tadbhavai Ajitendriya Pralobhida Padathyande Tamasyagnau Padangavat.
That Drishtva Sriyam Deva Mayam. The five things. What are they? Sound, touch, so shabdam, rupam forms, sparsham touch, rasam taste, and gandham smell. In order to bring these five five examples or five spiritual masters, what the Tathagata Maharshi has done is, he has brought five living entities to us and telling us how each one of these living entities are examples of us going through the same situation. And if you go through the examples, you will see there. Kurangam, Adangam, Padangam, Meenam, Bhangam. These are the five. Kurangam, Madangam, Padangam, Meenam, Bhangam. So, out of that, he's talking about Padangam. Padangam means, it's a kind of fly which you see normally after the rainy season, especially in the hot countries you will find them. Cold countries, very rarely you see them. They fly into the fire. Suppose the fire is burning. These flies will come and they will fall into this fire. In that process, they will kill themselves. They will kill themselves. Similarly, if you see, even nowadays when there is electricity, in the past there was no electricity. So there was mostly the oil lamps burning or the fire burning. At that time, after the rainy season, you will find these flies, padangams. They come and they'll fly. They are attracted by the form of the fire. And they are very well aware that they will kill them, they'll die if they fall into this fire. But in spite of that, they'll come and jump into it. The power of the eyes, how they are attracted by that senses, rupam, or the form. That is what it is said like that. That's what he said like that. That so, here, he is saying here that Nolsar Drishtvastriyam Devamayam Tadbhavai Ajirendriyam. Ajirendriya, because he cannot control, this fly cannot control its senses, under the influence of Devamaya, Maya works in that way, that Drishtvastriyam Devamayam Tadbhavai Ajirendriyam. Pralobida padathyande tamasyagnau patangavat. Now, the Tathagata Maharshi is saying about men and women. He is comparing us to these flies, to these patangam, they are called patangam, to these flies. A man's attraction for the woman and the women's attraction for the man, both, is covered. He says here, drishtva striyam devamayam. When the man sees the woman under the influence of Devamaya, Tadbhavai Ajendriya, because he has no realization inside, Pralobhida, he gets infatuated with that. How? Padathyande, he falls, Tamasya Agno Patangavad. Just like the fly goes and jumps into the fire and kills himself. Similarly, the man as well as the woman, mutually attracted by the attraction, physical attraction, they get into relationships and eventually they fall into that maya very strongly. That is what he is saying here. Tamasyande tamasyagnau padangavad. So, then, whatever, for the man, the attraction for the women, and for the women, the attraction for the man is Devamaya, is the influence of Maya. And it will affect the mind. It will affect the mind. So anywhere if attraction falls into this world, except Krishna, if the mind gets attracted anywhere else, one has to take it that there is danger. There is danger. If anywhere else, except in Krishna, if one gets attracted, even in the form, because after all they are all forms, isn't it? The names and the forms, the female body as well as the male body, due to its different forms, one gets attracted. So if that attraction comes, one has to understand what the Tathagata Maharshi is saying here is, that this understanding is coming from attraction for the form. And when one gets attracted to the form, he is going to experience distress later. He is going to experience distress because it will disturb the mind. It will disturb the mind. And a disturbed mind cannot practice spiritual life. Disturbed mind cannot practice spiritual life. This is why all these things are spoken very strongly in the Bhagavadam. That just like you will see in the past also, in the Puranas you will find this explanation, that when the sages were performing penances, Indra will send the apsaras women to them, to disturb their concentration, isn't it? In order to disturb their mind. So by seeing the form, they get attracted and they fall from that. So here he says here, Devadarabhirubenam, that for in family relationships also this happens, isn't it? Family relationships also this happens. So the Tadrivashi is pointing out here that Pralobhita Padatyande Tamasyagno Padangavat. Actually, all these arrangements are Maya's ways of preventing us from making spiritual progress. Just like in the family life, the wife's attraction to the wife, attraction to the husband, attraction to the children, attraction to other members in the family, all are sweet, very sweet obstacles on the path of spiritual life. They are put there by Krishna's arrangement, Devamaya. Devamaya does that. Demigods, they do that. They come to us and stop your progress in spiritual life in two, three different ways. Our spiritual life is obstructed mainly by three things. One, family members. That is the first objection. They come in different forms, in the form of parents, in the form of a wife, in the form of husband, in the form of children, in the form of the so-called relatives. All they are all, in a nice way, they come and stop your progressing in spiritual life. All they are there only to take you away from spiritual life. In majority of the cases, it is like that. That is why they are considered to be one of the major obstacles in spiritual life. Number two is, what is your prarabdham, vasanas, what you have brought with us. Prarabdha vasana. That vasana is called, develops into karma, prarabdha karma. And that holds the body back. You are not able to free yourself from that. You want to come out, but you are not able to. You are not able to do it. Why? Because constantly it is pulling you back from spiritual life. That is the prarabdha vasana. The third thing is what is known as the different impurities in the mind, like kamam, lust, anger, greed, envy, all those sorts of things. Kama, krodha, lobham, moham, madham, matsaryam, all the material impurities which is in the consciousness. That does not allow us to become spiritually progressive. So these three things, one which has been put into us in the form of family and family members. Number two, the one prarabdha vasana that we have brought with us. And number three, these impurities of the mind, like the kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madam, valsaryam, all other things. All these three things are the strong things what holds us back in the spiritual life. So here, that in age of Kali particularly, because of the struggle for existence is so strong, these relationships also become stronger day by day. Everyone is feeling sympathy for the other. Husband is thinking about the wife, how she is going to manage after I leave the body. Wife is thinking how he can manage after I leave the body. This is going on all around, all the time this is being discussed. And parents are thinking how my children will manage after we leave this world. The children are thinking, oh, my parents are suffering like this to maintain us. At all levels, this kind of distress is taking over. And the result is that all of them are nothing but, these attachments and feelings are nothing but Devamaya's activities in order to prevent us from looking forward towards the goal. That's what Krishna is saying. This is spoken about here. In this age, demigods won't do anything directly. Everything is done in the indirect way, through the family members and all that. This does not mean that one has to go home now and say to family members, look, you're all just a headache for me. Get it off from me. Get out of here. That's not what it means. If you understand this, that your goal is spiritual life and self-realization, realizing the truth in this valuable human life. That's what it's meant for. They are there. That is also due to prarabdham has brought them. Their prarabdham has brought them together with your prarabdham. So there is some prarabdham that members have come into the family, as family members. But if you start thinking on a bodily level, thinking that your happiness is dependent on their happiness, and their happiness is dependent on your happiness, and in that way, start struggling throughout life for that,
and get caught up in that process and forgets Krishna, then the spiritual goal is lost. Spiritual goal is lost. That's all it means. And for a person who has taken the sannyasa ashram, he cannot give any importance to any of these things, because sannyasa ashram means much more serious business in spiritual life. So his consciousness is completely free from all these attachments. Then, and in the age of Kali, there is other things also to distract our attention, just like this television, isn't it? Television, another name is television. It is nothing but poison that's being fed to us. And it increases this bodily concept of life. Instead of allowing you to free yourself from the clutches of Maya, it entangles you in Maya more. It brings you into it. And therefore he says here, drishtva sriyam deva mayam tadbhavai ajitendriya pralobida padathyande tamasyagnau patangavad. Then so many things we have created in this world in order to take our attention away from this goal of life, isn't it? Just like with the advancement of the technology, you can see how our mind gets distracted in various things, in various ways. The various sports activities and similarly various things. Sometimes you see in these days particularly, when there is some serial shown on the television, all the family members comes and sits in front of the television in such a disciplined manner. They sit there. A 2-year-old baby and a 100-year-old granddad, they all sit very disciplined in front of the television. At that, where did this discipline come to them? But that evening time, what it is meant for, chanting the holy name, and it is meant for spiritual advancement, that spiritual realization, they are all busy with all this television business. So like this, we have created so many gadgets, so many things in order to while the time away, somehow or the other, to engage in the spiritual activities instead of acting spiritual. Therefore, what happens sometimes, evening arati at 7 o'clock, during the evening arati, there is nobody to sing the arati. A tape recorder has to play. Everybody is busy at home watching the serial. So there is no one even to glorify Krishna. So that situation happens like that.
Yoshit, verse 8. Yoshit hiranyambharanam bharadi drevyeshu maya rajiteshu mudhaha pralobhidalma ubhaboga buddhya padangaval nashyadi nashtadrashtim. In the earlier verse, if you look, drishtvastriyam devamayam tadbhavai ajidendriyaha pralobhida padathyande tamasyagnau patangavad. That
when that attraction for the opposite sex comes, his situation is like this, that he constantly his mind is absorbed in those thoughts, and which means that tamogunam takes over. Tamogunam takes over. Ajnanam. Ajnanam comes. And when ajnanam comes, he falls down. Then he cannot keep this goal. He cannot be focused on the goal of self-realization. That is what the main thing, what is spoken about. So similarly, he says here, Yoshit hiranyam varanam varadi drevyeshu maya rajiteshu mudhaha. That when they see, here of course is spoken for the man, but it is equally true for the women as well. For the man, the attraction is that when a lady is nicely dressed up, wearing nice jewelry and gold, and he attracted by the beauty of that form, he falls into this ignorance and he falls down, exactly like this is all meant for happiness, and he jumps into that and loses his power of discrimination, and like the fly which jumps into the fire, he gets himself destroyed by that. So it's true with the other side also, opposite side also, the same thing is true. That's why it said, Yoshit Hiranyam Baranam Baradi Dravyeshu Maya Rajiteshu Mudhaha.
He is able to forget that, he is unable to remember that Maya Rajiteshu, this is all happened due to the influence of Maya.
Pralobhidatma,
then he gets Pralobhanam. Pralobhanam means provocations from inside. And then Ubhaboga Buddhyaha, that he is only thinking about Ubhabogam. The Ubhabogam means enjoying it.
And Patangaval Nashyati Nashtadrashti,
he immediately falls into that ignorant situation and he is unable to come out of it. Earlier we saw that in the case of a ocean, we were talking about that if you throw anything into the ocean, say while Dattatreya Maharshi was watching the ocean, he saw that people have thrown so many things into the sea, say a can or some paper or some grass, whatever you have thrown into the sea, the sea brings it back and puts it back into the seashore again. Isn't it? He puts it back. He doesn't take it inside. Rather, he puts it back into the sea. The Dattatreya Maharshi says there, I learned one important lesson from this. What is that? In material life, this material world will throw so many things at me. I should not allow them to touch me. Rather, I should throw it back at it again. This is the Dattatreya Maharshi's view. He is saying that whatever the material world throws at me, I should not take it inside. Rather, I should throw it back before it gets in, like the sea does. So two things he learned from the sea. One, while inside, I should become like the sea when you go deeper. The more you go deeper, the more calm it is. The calm the sea is. Similarly, by the virtue of knowledge and by self-realization, I should develop that quality not to get disturbed over anything, like the sea. Because these things are happening where? Where are these things happening? Why does he say like that? Everything that has been created in this world is created by Krishna's arrangement. They have come in different forms, different names, different shapes, different bodies, isn't it? And eventually they will all leave their body. That is not their true identity. They are only there temporarily in that form. If I give importance to these temporary forms and temporary bodies, I am deviating from my goal, the spiritual realization. This is the point what the Dattatreya Maharshi is saying. I am focused, the Dattatreya Maharshi says, I am looking for that thing which is permanent, which is from where everything has come and to which everything will go back at the end. And that is the truth. So, Krishna. And instead of being focused on Krishna, I am focused on all these objects which has come out from that. So I learned this lesson from the ocean. Ocean does not show any emotions. It doesn't get any affected either by the amount of water that comes in or the water being taken away from that. This one quality I learned from the sea. Secondly, he says that whatever the people throw into the sea, thinking that it will be lost, no, immediately it brings back and leaves it back to you. I realize from this that in material life, whatever anyone may throw at me, I should not take that seriously. I should leave that there and go back and do my business, what I'm meant to do. So these are the realizations from the sea. So here he says here that that
Yoshit Hiranyam Baranam Baradi Dravyeshu Maya Rajiteshu Mudhaha Pralobhidatma Ubhaboga Buddhya Patangavan Nashyati Nashtadrashti.
You can see how he is constantly observing the effect of Maya. So when one does not take Maya very seriously, he will immediately be captured by the power of Maya. So why Maya by nature itself, she is so powerful that how she can engage us in her service without allowing us to engage in Krishna service. That is her power, her potency.
She says that Stogam Stogam Grasil Grasam Deho Vartedaya Vada Guha Grihana Himsa Adishtel Vrittim Madhukarim Munim.
stogam stogam grasil grasam, that deho varte yavadam.
One should accept, he says, a person should only accept what is necessary for maintaining the body.
What is necessary for maintaining the body? Stogam stogam grasil grasam deho varte yavadam. Grihana himsana adishtel vrittim madhugarim munim.
This is the next one. What he has learned from the next spiritual master. From the bee, he says, he has learned an important lesson. What is an important lesson? The bee, have you noticed the bee? Bee goes into one flower and it will not take the whole honey from the bee, from the flower. It will only take a small quantity from one flower, and then it will go into the next flower and take some from that flower. Because of doing that, he will not hurt any flower unnecessarily. Suppose the bee takes all the honey from one flower, that flower becomes useless. He won't allow that to happen. Similarly, the Tathagata Maharshi is saying here, a sannyasi also should not accept more than what is necessary from anyone. A sannyasi should not accept more than what is necessary from anyone. Because by doing that, he is actually disturbing the householder's life. These are principles of sannyasam. I don't know how much it is followed in the modern days. That's another thing. But the fact remains that Dattatreya Maharshi, when he is talking about sannyasam, he means that a sannyasi has no right to disturb anyone. Sannyasi has no right to disturb anyone or demand anything from anybody. Whatever that has come by providence, he should be satisfied by that. And he should not accept anything more than that. Parangaval nashyati nashta drishti. Otherwise what will happen is that he would get more attracted to the material life and his purpose of spiritual, the taking sannyasam has gone. The purpose of taking sannyasam has gone away from him. So from the bee, he says, I have understood this important point, that under no circumstances I should tax anybody. What he's talking about sannyasis in general. Any sannyasi who is taking more than what is necessary, he is not accepting the things properly. Even for grihasthas, this is important. If you remember, we were talked about so many sannyasis before. But even in the householder's case, this is true, that more than when acquires more than what is necessary, it will disturb his spiritual life. So, there is a story spoken about this. When Tyagaraja was present in this world, he was a devotee of Lord Ramachandra. And he lived a very poor life with his wife. And in one instance, the king Sharabhoji, he felt so pitiful or compassionate to Tyagaraj, he sent a lot of wealth to him so that he does not have to stay in poverty. Tyagaraja sent the whole thing back to the palace. He did not want to accept anything from the king. On the other hand, what he did normally, what they generally do, householders in those days, was what is known as Unchavrti. Unchavrti means they will select 5 or 6 houses, and from each house they will accept a handful of rice. And after collecting, so that you don't, even if the householder gives more, he wouldn't accept it. We will make sure that the householder gives only a handful of rice. But he will go to several houses, and whatever he has collected for that particular day's need, he will bring home and cook, and he will eat and be satisfied with that. And the next day they will go again. This was the system, Unchavrti, among the Brahmanas. Among the Brahmana householders, they used to do like this. Because they did like that, there was no envy of the Brahmanas. People never got envious of the Brahmanas. Varnashrama Dharma is wonderful when everyone follows it properly. But in that process, Brahmanas were never an object of envy, because only when you have a lot of material opulences, you become an object of envy, isn't it? Otherwise, who is envious? A poor person, nobody is envious about him. Only we are worried about the wealthy people. We think about them, how they made the money, how we could do the same thing. This kind of thoughts comes to us. But Brahmanas, in the original Varnashrama system, in the Vedic system, their life was such that they would not accept more than what was necessary. More than what was necessary. This accepting without any discrimination in the modern world is what is causing the problems also. That renunciation and detachment has gone away and they are not considered any more qualities in life. So Tyagaraj used to go like this and used to collect rice from different families and bring home. Although they may be different rice, he will cook them all together and the family ate that and satisfied with that. This was Tyagaraj's life. So when the king sent the different footsteps and so many things to Tyagaraj, so he doesn't have to go through this. He was already known as a great musician by now. And his musical experiences were most of the time engaged in glorifying Lord Ramachandra. So Tyagaraja Swamiji never wanted to accept anything from anyone unnecessarily, more than what was necessary. Hearing that Tyagaraj had sent everything back, king decided to send him some more wealth in a different way. He asked some of the soldiers to take some gold coins from the treasury and go to Tyagaraj, and when he goes for begging, put these coins in the can or in the pot with which he was begging bowl, you can say. So Tyagaraj used to sing in ecstasy about Ramachandra and he was begging for the rice from different houses. The soldiers managed to put some coins, gold coins in that rice, and when Tyagaraj went, started shaking for the Bicham Dehi, they say asking for the food, in one house when he started shaking, he started hearing this noise from inside. And what did he do? As soon as he saw the gold coins inside, he said, "It has contaminated my food today." He took the whole thing and threw it into the Kaveri River. This was Tyagaraja. These were the personalities who followed Vedic philosophy strictly, without any deviations. And therefore, Krishna has also given them that realizations. That why these things are spoken in the Bhagavatam is that for us to understand, Vairagyam is an essential thing in spiritual life. Essential thing in the spiritual life. Spiritual life is not centered around wealth. Spiritual life is centered around one's consciousness. Bhagavatam is only pointing out this one important point, that stogam stogam grasel grasam deho varte dayavadaham gruhanahim sana adishtel vrittim madhugarim munim. Vrittim madhugarim muni. That generally madhugari. Madhugari means what? Madhugari means this. It is not very much in practice anymore, but even 50-60 years ago, this was very much a system that existed. That you don't like madhugari. It is a name. Madhugari means just like the bee who collects the honey. Collect a little bit from everybody and satisfied with that. So that you don't burden anyone. You don't burden anyone. So that's why it's called madhugari vritti. Madhugari vritti it's called. Vritti madhugari muni. So muni also should practice this. That is what the Dattatreya Maharshi is saying. A sannyasi who wants to guide others in spiritual life, he has to follow this process. That he should be able to maintain his body by begging from others, but at the same time not taxing anyone more than what is necessary. That generally, there are two types of sannyasis we talk about. One is the Dandi sannyasis, who has got danda. And the other one, who are very advanced, are the Paramahamsas. Dandi sannyasis and generally the two type of categories. But there are others also. So, out of these two, what is the difference? The difference is this. That Dandi sannyasis, they should be offered food in a very pure way. Because they are in the early stages of their sannyasa ashram. When they are in their early stages of sannyasa ashram, they should be offered in the clean food, even not even contaminated by anything. They should be offered, cooked and offered to them in a pure form for the Danda sannyasis. But the Paramahamsa sannyasis, in other words, Danda sannyasis can accept prasadam from a house,
But at the same time, when it comes to that, they should not accept more than what is necessary. Because they have come to the sannyasa ashram, they have started at that time. Paramahamsa sannyasi's case, it is different. They have gone beyond everything else. Therefore, for them, while accepting, they generally see that any house where cooking is already completed and everybody has eaten, in such a house they can go and accept the food. By Paramahamsa sannyasi is accepting the food, they are actually purifying that house by their accepting the food from that house. Even if everybody has eaten, even whatever little left at home, or if that is offered, they can still accept it and they can eat it. They are allowed to eat that. So Danda sannyasi and Paramahamsa sannyasi, two categories, at two different levels, while they accepting the prasadam also from the houses. So anubhyascha mahadbhyascha anubhyascha mahadbhyascha shastrebhya kushalo naraha sarvatra saram adadyal pushpebhya ivashalpadaha. Then anubhyascha mahadbhyascha shastrebhya kushalo naraha. This is an important thing. Anubhyascha mahadbhyascha shastrebhya kushalo naraha. Anubhyascha means the very minimum. Mahadbhyascha means in large quantity. Shastrebhya kushalo nara. That from the big scriptures and from the smaller scriptures or shastram, you should only accept the essence in all circumstances. That means when we take to spiritual life, especially in the world today, what normally happens is, because there is so much literature available, CDs, cassettes, and then DVDs, VCDs, and all sorts of things, plus all other amount of books what has been written. What people do, they go and read all these books. And if you ask them anything, they don't understand anything. Or completely confused. This is what the world today is. Many, many people, if you look into their spiritual life, they just don't know what they are talking about. And they get so confused about it. The example given is that just like the goat, if you let the goat to eat, allow to eat something in a field, what does the goat do? He'll go and eat something here. And then he'll go and eat something there. And he'll eat something else there. And if you look at the place where he has eaten, somewhere it has eaten bits and pieces here and there. Just like the way you eat food also these days, isn't it? Bits and pieces. So no proper way of eating. Similarly, no proper way of studying the books either. In the modern times, because people do not go deeper into the subject, they get involved studying all sorts of books. And they think that they are advancing spiritually. And if you ask something, they'll give some quotations also from some books. I read this in that book. But if you have understood anything, nothing has gone into the head. Why is it like that? Because this important point, what he is making here, anubhyascha mahadbhyascha shastrebhya kushalo nara. One who is shastrebhya kushalo nara, one should know how to study shastram. One should know how to study shastram. Strictly speaking, there is no need to study a lot of books. The way spiritual life works is, you take the essential texts. For example, we are talking about, say, Bhagavad Gita, Ishopanishad, one or two books. Upanishads, most of the Upanishads knowledge is the same. We have got, for example, Bhagavad Gita and Ishopanishads. By studying Bhagavad Gita and Ishopanishad, you will understand what is spiritual life, what it's all about, isn't it? And by constantly studying and reflecting on Bhagavad Gita, a lot of questions will come up. A lot of questions will come up. Discussing that with those who are advanced in the understanding of Bhagavad Gita or Ishopanishad or any other Upanishad for that matter, Kathopanishad, Kanopanishad, major Upanishads I'm talking about. There is no difference what is spoken in Bhagavad Gita and in the Upanishads. The spiritual knowledge is kept very, very
focused in all these texts. So if you study Bhagavad Gita in depth, immediately what you have to understand in spiritual life will develop within oneself. And whatever clarity you haven't got from Bhagavad Gita, you have to inquire from others. And in that way, the very text of Bhagavad Gita must answer all the questions what is required to know in spiritual life. This is the way of to study Bhagavad Gita and to progress in the spiritual life. In the past, before we had all these facilities for the electronic gadgets, or for that matter, all the facilities what's available today, in the past, people had only one book or maximum two books, nothing more than that. But whatever they studied in depth. This was the difference. Whatever book, if they have studied Bhagavad Gita, they will study it in depth, not on a superficial level. Not on a superficial level. One sannyasi used to say that in the past people studied so well in depth that it was easier for them not to have the textbook and to reflect on it very much in depth about the things what they have heard from Bhagavad Gita. Today people study books just like a newspaper. How do we read newspaper? We spread it and read from beginning to end. And at the end, if you ask, what have you read? Ah, it's all, it's nothing interesting there. You throw it away like that. Isn't it? So same thing, that's how we are reading Bhagavad Gita today. We read Bhagavad Gita from beginning to end. And if you ask, what have you understood from Bhagavad Gita? Then there is nothing much to say from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says so many things, Arjuna said so many things, and I have nothing to say. It's all between Krishna and Arjuna. Let them sort it out between them. This is what we understood from Bhagavad Gita. So that way, if you study Bhagavad Gita won't give you that understanding. Every single verse, every word in the Bhagavad Gita is important. And it has a message to convey. Vedavyasa Maharshi has a purpose writing Bhagavad Gita. And through Krishna and Arjuna's, their discussions, Vedavyasa is presenting to us the very essence of Vedic philosophy through Bhagavad Gita. And after studying Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, if you want to have much more deeper realizations from that, and if you want to see the devotees, how they have translated that into their life, you can read Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam will tell you that. How those devotees who had the deeper understanding of Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, how they have translated their knowledge into their own life and what they have got to say about spiritual life. And that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So, here, Anubhyascha Mahalbhyascha Shastrebhya Kushalo Naraha Sarvada Saramadadhyal Pushpebhya Ivashalpada. The Sarvava Saramadadhyal. The important thing is getting the essence out of it. Important thing is getting the essence out of it. Because if you have got the essence properly, then that will have an impact on our mind also, on our way of thinking. Otherwise nothing will happen. That, so taking shelter of Bhagavad Gita, taking shelter of the Upanishads, and thereby requiring one will understand the essence, vastu, vastu tattvam, tattvam it is called, isn't it? After studying Bhagavad Gita, we have to ask the question to ourselves, what did I understand from Bhagavad Gita? What did I understand from Bhagavad Gita? So, if you have understood Bhagavad Gita properly, then naturally it should have an impact on our way of thinking. Otherwise we have not understood Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? It should have an impact on our way of thinking. So having understood that, Bhagavad Gita will tell us, Bhagavad Gita will tell us how to live the life for the rest of the rest of the life, how to live the rest of the life properly. So, okay. Sayandanam shastanam va samgrahinida bikshidam paanivatrodara amatro machike mana sangrahi. This is an important point. Sayandanam shastanam va na sangrahinida bikshidam paanivatrodara amatro machike mana sangrahi. That
Panibatram Udarabatram, it says. A yadi or a sannyasi, he should not have anxiety about tomorrow. What will happen? That, in other words, he should not plan for the future. Every single day, he has to think that Krishna is maintaining him. And therefore, in the past, many sannyasis won't even carry a pot for collecting food. What did they do? Pani Patram. They will hold their hands together like this, and the householder is supposed to offer the food in that hands. And whatever was given in the hand, and Udara Patram. Pani Patram, Udara Patram. Pani, hands were the pot, and the stomach is poured from this pot to this pot. It was poured, and that's it. That's finished for them. That was the personality that Tatra is talking about. Pani Vatro Udara Vatro Machikevana Sangrahim. That whatever situations happen, one should not acquire more than what is necessary. More than what is necessary. Sayandhanam Shastanam Va Nag Sangrahini the Bhikshida. A bhikshu or a yeti or a sannyasi, if he acquires more than what is necessary for maintaining his body, Sangrahita Bhikshu, Pani Vatram Udara Matram Makshigevana Sangrahi, he is going to invite trouble. He is going to invite trouble. Makshige Sayandhanam Shastanam Va Na Sangrahini the Bhikshuga. Machiga iva samgrahnanan sahadena vinashyati. That if one holds food for the next day or the day after, he is going to destroy himself exactly like the honey bee. As you know, the honey bee, the only business it does is it keeps collecting, isn't it? And one day a hunter or somebody comes in the forest. He sets fire to the honeycomb and kills all the honeybees and takes the honey and goes away. So therefore, Dattatreya she is saying, I learned this one lesson. A bhikshu should never store anything. Even food for the next day. Even for the evening, he should not collect food. He can have his lunch, whatever he has begged and collected, he can have that. And in the evening, if he wants to eat, he should go and beg again. He should not even keep it. Okay, lunchtime I have collected so much. Let me keep something for the evening. Even that is not allowed. He is supposed to go in the evening again and ask for food. And if he feels that it is too much of a trouble to go out again asking for food, then he should fast that evening. This is the law. This is what is expected of sannyasis. So, otherwise what it says, anyone who collects and stores it for the next day, he is not following the injunctions of the Shastram, or sannyas ashram. Sangrahini na bhikshuga. That will only come, and if he does, it will be taken away by the, that is against the, because this, you may wonder why it is all spoken so seriously, isn't it? In order to perfect us in our spiritual life. Because if we make loose application of these things in life, if we take it in a loose way, thinking that, oh, I am a sannyasi, but still, you know, I also need some food to eat. It's not a big thing. No, that perfection won't come in that person. Any moment, a sannyasi who does not follow this strictly, any moment he can fall. Because what differentiates sannyasa ashram from the householder? Sannyasa ashram is that ashram where he has been given this authorization that you are very close to Krishna, provided you are accepting what Krishna has spoken about sannyasam, otherwise not. In the modern world, all this is mixed up completely. People are completely confused about what does a sannyasi means. They give external things importance. They think of sannyasi as a danda and the sannyasa clothes is accepted as a sannyasi. But that confuses people. Where is the difference? And sometimes the opulence of the sannyasis confuses people. Why a sannyasi has to live in such an opulent way? So these questions will come up. So in order not to mislead the people and not to confuse the society, to be faithful to the sannyasa ashram, one has to follow these principles very rigidly.
one does not follow that, sannyasashram simply becomes a laughing stock. So it is important here that one should study Srimad Bhagavatam and what Krishna and Dattatreya Maharshi has to say about sannyasa ashram instead of being driven by others. Because it is here you will find the Vedic philosophy in its pure form, nowhere else. Everywhere else it's polluted, very much polluted. And therefore it becomes very, very difficult for people to understand. They think go by the dress. Every time they see the dress and accept it as the authority of the sannyasa ashram. A dress is nothing. Krishna says it's like a bottle which has got a label outside, but inside the medicine is all lost its expiry date. It's like that. So that's the example. So here, Krishna is saying here, through this, sayandhanam shastanam va nusangrahneeda bichuga machiga iva sangrahnan sahadena vinashyadi. If he accepts this, in order to make this sannyasa ashram perfect, all these rules are being laid out. If it is executed in this way, how Krishna has spoken here, automatically such a sannyasi is qualified to go back to Krishna while living in this body. Not that every sannyasi will fly to, in the modern world, whom we see as sannyasis will fly to Krishna straight away after leaving. There is no guarantee like that. It is, these are the things that makes a person's spiritual life perfect in sannyasa ashram. So, when these things have happened, Dattatreya Maharshi says here, Padavi vadim bhikshur nasprasher daravimavi sprishan kaiva vadhyeda karinyamanga sangadaha. That if you keep, in the earlier verse you have seen, whatever you have collected by begging, by bhiksha, and if you have kept it for tomorrow or for the evening, that's not allowed. If you keep it like that, he will also fall down from his sannyasa ashram. Then, padavi yuvadim bhikshur nasprashel dvaravim api sprishan kariva vadhyeda karinyamanga sangadaha. Now, what else he says? That a sannyasi, even if you see a form of a woman made of wood, he should not touch that. He should not touch that. Can you imagine that? That a sannyasi, if he sees a form of a woman, he should not, even if it is made of wood, he should not touch that. Why? It says here, Bishurna sprasheddharavi mavi sprishan kariva vadyeda karinyamanga sangadaha. It is, example is, that it is very much similar to the example of the elephant. What happens to the elephant? Elephant is given as the best example for sparsham. Sparsham means touch. When you look at the elephant, you think that elephant, such a big body, such a thick skin, if you touch the skin, it won't know it, isn't it? That's what you think. But it's not like that. The sense of touch for the elephant is more than us. It's much more than us. Even we may not know sometimes if somebody touches, but elephant immediately knows that it has been touched. And therefore, using this weakness of the elephant, when they capture the elephant, they use this weakness of the elephant. What do? When they want to capture the elephants from the forest, they bring the female elephants who are already tamed properly, and they will keep them in such a way that the male elephant, seeing the female elephants, and because of this attachment for the female elephant, it comes and starts associating with the female elephant. In that process, they dig huge trenches in the forest and the male elephant falls into that. Male elephant falls into that. So, karinyam anga sangadaha sprishal kariva bhadyada karinyam anga sangadaha. This elephant, male elephant's attraction for the female elephant is so strong that sprishan kariva bhadyada, that he immediately gets victimized by that. The male elephant gets victimized by that, by this sense of touch. If you want to hear about this, that how in one instance, in one big festival, there were so many elephants standing in a row. There were so many elephants standing in a row. So somebody from the crowd thought that these elephants have such huge body and they've all been put under chain. They tie the front leg with the rear legs. They tie with the with the chain so that they can't run very fast. Even in case the elephant goes out of control, these chains help. That's how they chain them. So someone who was smoking a cigarette or something, out of curiosity, thinking that elephant won't know it, after smoking the cigarette, instead of putting it on the floor and extinguishing the fire, he decided to put it on the elephant, rub it on the elephant. The moment he touched this burning cigarette on the elephant's body, immediately it lost its control and started running berserk. And in that process, many people even lost their life. Such things can happen. So important things to know is that this elephant's power, sense of touch is so strong that a sannyasi who wants to keep his consciousness focused in spiritual life and who knows what his goal is, he should be conscious not to be victimized by the sense of touch. So we were talking about the sense of five different things, isn't it? Sabdam, Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandham. Out of these five things, what have we seen now? We have seen Patangam, the fly which comes because of that Rupam, the form. It jumps into the fire and kills itself. We have seen the elephant which out of touch, sense of touch, how it gets destroyed itself in that process. How it gets destroyed itself. So Patangam and elephant, two things we have seen. Now the remaining things we will look at next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.